Welcome back to Leading Worship. I'm Nick Edgemoody, joined here with Andy Christman. What's up, Andy? How you doing?
What's up, Nick? Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. We're going to dive straight into content today. But before we do, why are we doing this podcast? What's the purpose of Leading Worship? Andy, what would you say if people are like, why are we doing a podcast?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I've been in Christian music / worship / church work for 40 years. And wow. I feel like I've seen just about everything there is to see in the church when it comes to music and worship. And for me, I just want to give my knowledge away because,
so good.
Man, how many people do you and I know, including each other? You know, we have honest conversations with each other too, just about how hard this job can be and, you know, the expectations that are put on us. So, I don't want to see people out there wandering out around aimlessly, you know, having questions that they can't get answered. So that's why, that's why I love this podcast.
Yeah, I love that. I think for me, leading this podcast is really for people who feel like they're walking through stuff and maybe they don't, they're like, nobody else knows what I'm walking in or walking through. There are other worship leaders and worship pastors that have gone before you and maybe have experienced some of the things you are experiencing, good, bad, ugly, all of the things. And so we want to come alongside and equip, empower, and encourage worship leaders to keep going, to believe. Like, we believe you can always get better, you can always get healthier, and you can continue to pursue and walk out the calling of God on your life week in, week out, in the midst of all of the craziness and circumstances that come with saying yes to ministry, which can be messy. And so if anything, and you're listening to this podcast, we want to say, hey, we believe in you. We believe in the local church. God's not finished with you yet, even if you're walking through a hard season or circumstance right now. Man, there are at least two people that are, you're hearing their voice right now that are here for you. And in fact, we want to make ourselves available. So you can always DM us on Instagram, at Andy Christman, at Nick Edgemoody. And we would just love to connect, and however we can encourage and equip, worship leaders, that's why we do what we do.
Yeah. We want you to finish strong. We want you to finish whatever journey God has you on. We want you to finish strong. And that's Paul talks about that. In the New Testament, we need to finish our race, but we need to finish it in a way that we win it. We win our race. And so however we can help you finish strong, that's what we want to do.
So good. So we're going to dive into today's content today. And basically the question I have, Andy, and we're going to tee this up, is come off of a weekend. And I know I have this question. A lot of people have this question. Did we nail it? Did we hit the mark? Did we nail it this week? Did we not? So let's unpack that for, I know it's different for everybody in every church, but how do you go about even unpacking the question, did we nail it? How do you know if you nailed it? And then how do you know if your team nailed it? And how is all of that communicated and processed?
Wow, it's a big question. And it's one that we all struggle with, huh? I know I have so many times, just maybe it didn't feel good, or, you know, maybe we had a lot of mistakes. Maybe the crowd didn't respond the way that we thought that they would. How do you measure that? How do you go back home on Sunday afternoon feeling like you not just accomplished the mission, but you did it well? It's a really good question. And, I think it, you know, I think in a way it can be different for every worship pastor, for every church, for every worship team, for every church community. But, you know, there's an old adage that if you don't know what you're aiming at, you don't know if you actually hit the mark. So I think the first thing you have to do as a worship culture, and again, you and I have talked about this a lot, and it's something I talk about with other worship pastors and senior pastors that I work with across the country, is you have to have a culture in your worship. You have to have a defined culture of what is worship for our church. What do we believe about it? And that has to be church-wide. It can't just be you know, what your Sunday morning platform team believes. It has to be something that's connected to the vision of your church and to the just the personality of your congregation, depending on the area of the country that you're in, the ethnic dynamics that make up your church and your community. So the first thing you've got to do is really think about the culture of your worship and define that. But if we want to get a little bit more general, I think that you need to have a target. So, you know, what is your target for worship? And there can be several things. I'll just tell you, you know, just as an example, at Church on the Move, where I've been for the last 17 years, we have several targets, and they have shifted over the years. But I feel like just within the last 5 to 7 years, as we've really gotten serious about defining what we believe worship should be at Church on the Move, is we've come down to some real basic targets. Number one is excellence. We believe in excellence. We believe that it should be, everything should be thought through. Everything should be rehearsed. But we also believe that we give room for the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do in any moment. We believe we should preach the gospel through our worship set. We believe that we should represent the generations and the ethnicities of our church on our stage. You know, we believe that there should be joy in everything that we do. So we actually have a target at Church on the Move. And you know what? Here's the thing. In a couple of years, that target could shift a little bit, but at least we have one.
Yeah.
And it goes something like gospel-centered, hope-filled, joyous worship services.
Yeah.
So that's how we start, right? So that's our target. So now we can build a worship set around those target ideas. And here's the thing. You walk off stage and maybe you didn't nail it. Well, maybe you missed one of the targets, but if the others were present, then you can feel good about what you did. Or sometimes a crowd doesn't respond. That's not your responsibility. That's a responsibility of the Holy Spirit. If you've done your job on the front end and been true to the target that you set, then you don't have to worry about, did people lift their hands? Did they sing along? Did, did they applaud real big at the end? Those are false, you know, we talked about false flags in another episode. Those are some false flags I think you can chase of everybody sang, everybody clapped, or we got patted on the back when we walked off stage. And those are those things that it can be false targets or false flags. You know, you got to have a target. You have to be committed to that target, and then you just put a system around it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I love that the targets that you just described, excellence, gospel-centered, hope-filled, joyous, all of those things are, there's an attachment to a core value, right, that you carry, but they're also measurable. In other words, we can go back and look at playback on Sunday and look at the set and be like, hey, was there excellence involved here? We can look at the lyrics and really the flow and say, hey, were we gospel centric in how we led? We can look at our posture, our body language, our smiles, our faces, and find out, did we lead with joy or did we not? So all of those, there are specific moments and things that you can do to look back and get that feedback and really be able to share that with the team and be like, man, I went back and I watched some of worship we went back and watched, and I can tell you that we hit our target of joy. Because, man, look at the energy in the room, or look at the energy on stage, or when you led that song in that way, man, we could just feel the joy. We could see it, sense it, all of those things, and even hear it in how you lead. You know, when you talk on the phone and somebody's smiling, then, you know, that's that you can sense the joy in that, in their smile. So I think all of those things are definitely worth measuring. When it comes to like feedback circles, I guess, let me ask you this. I think it is important to know the who, like who are you getting feedback from? Because sometimes we may think that we did great and it's not great, or maybe we think it's not good and people in the audience are like, man, that was powerful. Like,
yeah.
So who, you know, talk to me a little bit about like, who do you get your feedback from? Who should you get your feedback from? And then how do you process that? So let's talk about the who of answering the question, did we nail it? So who's going to tell us if we nailed it or not?
Yeah. So, I mean, the obvious answer here is your senior pastor, who is the lead shepherd of your church, who should be, along with his team. Maybe it's an elder board or an executive team or advisors that are setting the direction for the church at large, you know, for all of the ministries. And, we go back to the word target, right? There has to be a definite target for your church overall. And if your church doesn't have a ministry statement or a mission statement, then that's a little bit of a problem, because then it could be that your church is just kind of firing arrows into the distance and not really knowing what their purpose is in that community. So it would be really interesting to know how many listening to this podcast, if their church actually has a mission statement and something that they, you know, they feel like they need to go toward. But I would say your senior pastor is the easy answer. Yeah. And you know, there are two types of senior pastors. There are senior pastors who are artists at heart. You know, maybe they came up through worship. Maybe they were a creative director at one point. Maybe they just get music and they want to really be involved in the planning of the set and how everything feels. So feedback from an artistic pastor is going to feel a lot different than feedback from a non-artistic pastor. And there are a lot of pastors who are more administrative. They don't have musical giftings. They don't really understand what it takes to put a team on stage and make the music every weekend. So they can just go by how the room felt, you know, or they can just, they can see it for the pieces that were there and understand that, you know, you hit the target when it came to theology and, you know, the types of people you put on stage, maybe that represent the congregation. So there are going to be two types of pastors, one that's going to care about the art and how it felt and one that just really cared about maybe the content and the language that you used throughout your worship set. So that would be the first person, you know. And if you don't have regular feedback from your senior pastor, you need to solicit it. And I've dealt with a lot of worship pastors that have said, I haven't had a meeting with my senior pastor in 6 months about worship, so I don't know how he feels. I'm like, well, that's a problem, because, you know, he's the one that could, you know, change the entire direction of the church in a heartbeat. So you need to know how he feels, she feels, whoever your senior pastor is. You need to know how they feel about the worship and where it's going, and get as much feedback from them as you can. Then I would also say, you know, I value other worship-minded people. And, you know, there are only going to be so many worship pastors in a church at one point. But I think as a worship pastor, you know who those people are that maybe bend towards, you know, have that heart of leading people in worship, really great musicians, people that you can trust with their opinions. I'd say you need to build a little bit of a kind of off the record team that you confide in, you know, and that you listen to and get feedback from when it comes to sounds and, you know, the way everything looks on stage, the way you're presenting yourself. And then I think bottom line is too, you have to have a knower. Like, you have to be enough of an artist to know that was right. We did it right. I know that we hit our target and it felt good. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, this is Nick, you know, this is one of the toughest things for us as worship pastors, is to find the right feedback channels. Because they're all over the map, man. You know, some people love everything you do. Some people are super critical. And it's like, who do you let into your inner circle, and who do you really listen to for advice? So I would say senior pastor, number one. And then if you've got a boss, maybe an executive pastor or someone that is on the executive team that is, you know, your leader, I would say you need to have continuous conversations with them weekly, if not more, on your job performance, how the weekend feels, and if you're hitting your targets and if you're actually going the right direction with your worship.
Yeah, that's great. I agree with everything you just said. For me, I like to have a mix of feedback that I let in. So I think, yes, senior pastor. I also think that when we come off stage, almost every service, I group text everybody who was on stage. And I almost do it separately too, like the band separate than the vocals, just to talk about if there's different energy. Like sometimes the vocals won't want to hear what the band, some of the things mm-hmm. I text the band about, and vice versa. So I almost communicate to both and just give my feedback on how I felt it went and then allow them to give theirs just in real time, especially mm-hmm. if you're doing multiple services, right? Yeah. So we do that, and that's internal feedback, and that's all great. But let me tell you, I also come off stage and I come and sit with my wife, and and she's the one that I trust the most because she will tell me the truth. and she experiences it off mm-hmm. stage from a congregational perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think that is so, to me, that's just as valuable as what the sound guy told me.
Yeah.
Because the sound guy is still at his position and he's still kind of dialed into mm-hmm. some of the technical.
I will say this though, your sound guy might be the most honest person in the room.
He should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's great. I'm good for that. But I think experientially, mm-hmm. Spiritually, emotionally, my wife will give me feedback on how each person led each song, right? So that's not about, she won't talk to me about pitch. She'll talk to me about confidence. She'll talk to me about leadership in the moments where there's typically no lyrics being sung. Uh-huh. And she did this last week. I came off stage and I was like, hey, how did so-and-so lead that song? How did she do? And she's like, oh my goodness, there was a newfound confidence. I've never seen her lead in that way before. And the great thing for me is I was able to take that and actually shared that with that leader. And I said, listen, this came from my wife, and you can, this is like, she will tell you the truth in that. But I do think all that to say, having a mix of the people who are, you know, you're responsible to and responsible for, that's important. But then get those trusted people in the congregation who you trust their ear. Mm-hmm. You also trust their ability. And the reason I love having my wife on there, Amy, is because she has discernment. So I want to have some people in the room who can discern how the Spirit is moving mm-hmm. in the room during worship, because that is just as important as how did we sound sonically and how the transitions went.
Yeah.
The sound and the transitions set you up for the spiritual move, the mm-hmm. Holy Spirit to move in the room. And if we're doing our sound stuff right and we're executing and operating, then that really frees up God to do his thing. You know,
that's so right.
The principle behind it is what we do in the natural. We do what we bring, what we can in the natural and see what God does in the supernatural.
Let me add to that too, is if you can take chaos out of the equation, you can hear the Holy Spirit speak to you much more clearly, because if there's chaos and you're like fixing everything as you're doing it, you know, if things aren't happening the way that you hoped they would happen, if tracks aren't rolling right, if band members don't play the right parts, if people aren't singing the right lyrics, I mean, when you take chaos out of the equation, it frees you up to actually hear the Holy Spirit and how he wants to direct you in that moment. And, you know, I think that's really good that, you know, preparation is key. And I know this has been a topic ever since I started in worship ministry, is do we prepare or are we led by the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
There is no either or, that you do both. And that's a biblical principle. You read through the Old Testament, you read through the New Testament, both of those things apply. And so taking chaos out of the equation can help you be led by the Holy Spirit much more effectively than if you just get up without a plan or not thinking things through or not rehearsing properly, then you're just, now you're fixing problems as you're performing and leading worship. And I'll say this too. There's a little shift in the question you should be asking when you go after feedback. Don't ask the question, how did I do? Did you like what we did? You ask the question, how can we get better? How could that have been better this weekend? Mm-hmm. And I think that opens up for a healthier conversation, because what you don't want to hear when you say, did you like what we did this weekend? You don't want to hear, no, I didn't like it, or I liked some of it. That sets you down the wrong path. And honestly, as a leader, I don't want people seeking my favor. I want people seeking my knowledge and seeking my my feedback as far as how they can get better. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm not a praise seeker. I'm a feedback seeker. Help me get better. So, and that's going to put you in a better position to learn and to be open for critical conversations. So when you come off stage, when you get in that meeting on Monday or Tuesday to, you know, get feedback from the service, don't go in asking, did you like it? Did you like when we did this? What, how did we sound? Were you blown away by that last song? Those are the wrong questions to ask. You come in from the other side of it going, hey, what, give me some critical feedback for this weekend. We want to get better.
Yeah, that's so good. And here's the reality. You're going to get a lot. You get feedback every second. As humans, we receive feedback on everything that we do. And so you have to have a feedback filter for you to lead in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. You have to have a feedback filter. And so all we're encouraging you to do is go back and look and say, what voices am I allowing to speak into this weekend experience?
Right.
When, because I know this, Andy, after Sunday, like Sunday afternoon rolls around after I've had lunch, I'm not, maybe not at the best place to receive some of the feedback, or to process it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's kind of like your guard is down and you're emptied. And mm-hmm. so maybe like, let me take a nap or do something, you know, so that I can be in a place mentally where I can process. Cause you know, from the minute that you show up early in the morning until you walk out on Sunday, you're kind of on, you know what I mean? You're, mm-hmm. you're armored up, you're mentally prepared to lead and just all of that. And so, even the timing of feedback is super important, of when are you receiving feedback and what, so getting feedback on Friday from what you did Sunday, that's too late. So I would probably say between 24 to 48 hours is when you want to take some time to evaluate what you did and how it went, how it felt and all mm-hmm. of those things. And again, we don't get the feedback to completely change everything necessarily, but we got to value and crave feedback. Right. What it does is it develops perseverance and it develops humility in us to say, you know what, even if we think we nailed it, I don't want to be the guy that ever thinks that I nailed it when I didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So even if I come off feeling like, oh man, I know I nailed it, I might think that, but I still got to ask for the feedback because it may not have translated in the room. Yeah. A good example of that for me is I've led in rooms before where I felt like, man, I nailed it and it felt great in the room. And the online mix, the online translation. I'm like, yeah. Oh, it was the reverb that covered my sin, my vocal sin there. But it didn't translate. Right. And so, you could nail it in the room, but then not online and there can be a disparity there. So I'm sure we all have stories like that.
Oh, yeah. And I would say too, you know, if you're a leader, if you're a worship leader or a worship pastor, shield your team from immediate negative feedback. You know, your team has, for many of them, they've put in volunteer hours. They've taken time away from their family. They've been excited to sing or use their musical gift for their church over the weekend. And you go into battle together and maybe things didn't work the way you wanted it to. Be careful walking off stage and being immediately critical of one of your players or one of your singers, or just being critical of yourself, you know, because you want to always be an encourager. And here's, you know, here's the other side of this whole thing. If you're a believer in Christ, if you're saved, if you're, you know, if you call Jesus Lord, God accepts your worship, even if it's not perfect. God accepts you as little children to come before him. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have everything buttoned up and exactly the way you wanted it, but God received you. And I would see, sometimes I would see my team members with their head down after they walked off stage because they made a mistake or we blew a transition or something. And I would say, hey, Let me ask you a question. Did we send anybody to hell this weekend with our worship? And obviously they would laugh and go, no, we didn't. I'm like, okay, then we're good. Then we live to fight another day. And you know what? God accepted it. And God's gracious. And he can't wait for us to worship him again next weekend. So let's just keep our heads up and let's keep going and encourage them. And then you let that feedback out to your team, the critical feedback in little doses. We believe in the critique sandwich, right? It's, hey, you're awesome. Thanks for sharing your gift with us. I'm so glad you're on our team. Hey, remember this next time, and then give the critical feedback and then end with, dude, I love you. You're so good. I can't wait to do this again with you next week. Make sure that you package that around gratefulness and love and honor, because that's the same way that's what God does. God will give us his feedback. Jesus will give us feedback. The Holy Spirit will give us feedback to help us be better. But overall, we're covered in love and grace and mercy 24/7. So you need to be that with your team as well. And again, if you've got a leader, a pastor, someone that is kind of in charge over the worship experience beyond you, shield your team from immediate feedback, because you might get texts, right after going, oh man, that transition didn't work. Oh man, that song didn't work. Or hey, that, you kind of blew that ending there. Yeah. Hold on to that. Don't share it with your team. Yeah. Just you take that, let it go, go home and get some rest, and then understand that, hey, it's just a criticism. It's not a moratorium on who you are as a leader. And then deal with it in a healthy way on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. And the majority of the people listening to this podcast, you have volunteers that you are stewarding. Most people listening maybe you might have some paid musicians or paid vocalists, but the majority are volunteers who, by the way, are giving up and sacrificing their time to practice. They're sacrificing their time to come to rehearsal. Right. They're coming early on Sunday morning. And so when we ask the question, did we nail it? Man, those volunteers who are giving up and their worship started when they chose to practice and rehearse and prepare throughout the week. Their worship started when they got up early in the morning to get ready and commute in to be there when they're not getting paid to do that. Yes, you already nailed it. You already nailed it because your worship has already begun. So I want to encourage everybody listening, like, you can celebrate people whether they are on pitch or not, just because they showed up, just because they were there, and have grace, like be a graceful leader, in your encouragement. There should never be a weekend that you don't encourage your team. There should never be a weekend that you don't thank your team.
That's right.
For something. Mm-hmm. Like, your team should just be thankful and grateful. You should be that and example that as a leader. Crave feedback, give feedback. So like, filter through the voices that you're allowing to speak into you, but also be a great giver of feedback too. Mm-hmm. This last week we had 3 services, and so the first time I've ever done this, Andy, but it was very intentional in our little pre-service huddle about singling out somebody and just celebrating them and just thanking them. So the first service, I did the drummer and one of our electric players together because they had spent some extra time in the week preparing and working on some sound stuff. The second service, I thanked the girl who led the opening song because it was a brand new song. And leading a brand new song as an opener is tough because there will be very little congregational engagement. Yet this particular girl, an experienced worship leader in our team, you have to have a pioneering spirit and you have to really lead it. You have to have a different energy than, like, if you're leading a really, really familiar song, you know that. Yeah. It's just, you're not going to get the engagement. And I just wanted to thank her and say, hey, you're blazing new territory and you don't need to have the congregation singing with you to lead a new song. So thank you for doing that, taking that on. And with the third service, we thanked all of our background singers. The ones who sometimes never even sing a harmony part. They're just there to do gang vocals. Yep. And I just said, man, on this song, we were doing I Speak Jesus, which is a huge vocal song.
Love that song.
So we're doing I Speak Jesus. And once you get into the bridge, just those girls carrying that melody, just the gang vocals were huge on it. And I was like, guys, that moment right there is making a huge difference in our set. And it was like, you could just feel them, like you could feel going into the next service, that riding that wave of encouragement. So don't wait till service is over and you're on your way home to text people. Let them know in real time. Give them that immediate feedback. Any final closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
I would just say if you don't have somebody in your life that encourages you, you need to find that person. you have to have encouragement. You cannot do this long term without someone that's encouraging you and helping you to get better at what you do. If you're continually being beat down, if you're continually being criticized, you might be in the wrong environment. And I'm not saying that you have to leave, but that environment's got to change. And I like what you said earlier, you have to have a filter of the voices that you allow into your process and into your feedback loop. But you're never going to make it long term. You're not going to finish your race if you don't have someone around you or multiple people around you encouraging you and calling out the good things that you're doing. So just pray about that. Find that person or those people and ask the Holy Spirit to bring them into your life, and he will, because he wants you to be encouraged.
I love that. If I were to say one final thought, it would be this, that worship is a communion where we bring what we can in the natural and encounter a loving supernatural God. It's tangible meeting intangible. Therefore, build a feedback circle that encompasses that really looks at that communion. So not just the physical, did we nail it? Did it sound good? Were the transitions right? Were we on pitch? But was the atmosphere shifting? Could you sense the Holy Spirit in the room? Like, did God meet us where we are and where people ministered to?
Make sure
that we incorporate the spiritual feedback that we need as a team into what we're bringing as well, so that you have well-rounded feedback all the way around. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on Leading Worship. This was a great one. You can find Andy every Sunday morning at over how many,
450 now. We're growing every week. Yeah, 450 stations around the world.
Around the World, Worship with Andy Christman. It's a two-hour radio show that runs on Sunday morning. You probably heard it if you drive into church and tune in looking for worship on a Sunday morning. This podcast is produced by Yellowbox. We're a creative agency that is passionate about developing creativity in the local church. Again, so excited that you guys are listening. We want to hear your feedback. Shoot us a DM. At Hello Yellow Box or at Nick Edgemoody or at Andy Christman. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.